I spent my entire adult life in law enforcement or the military in some way, shape, or form. In 2001, we gained a new mission, we being law enforcement as a profession, and that mission was counterterrorism operations. So we didn't really have any experience in this field as a profession. So the prevailing principle is that no one should have to experience a task in a real-world operation without having previously experienced that task in training and education. And I saw a large gap between the basic training that was offered at the police academy in Meridian and then the theory-based training or the intellectual training at the college level. There was no real advanced tactical training opportunities, particularly in the Northwest. So I started the company. I approached some investors and said, this is my idea. And it took me 3 years to get the business plan put together and move forward.
Now, you do all kinds of different trainings, some of your classes, night vision, weapons of mass destruction, hostage rescue. What's your most popular class?
Since 2005, by far our most popular classes are those that are approved by the Department of Homeland Security. So those are the active shooter classes as well as the SWAT team typing systems, type 1, 2, and 3.
Who does the training? What kind of folks do you have on staff?
Our staff is made up of experienced tactical operators from the law enforcement community. And the other half of that coin is we have folks from the special operations community, SEALs and Army Rangers, Delta Force, Army Special Operations.
What lessons has 9/11 brought to the kind of training that you do?
9/11 taught us a tremendous amount of lessons as an industry and as a profession. Probably the biggest lessons learned for us incorporates mindset. We're not dealing with the average common criminal. We're dealing with somebody with deep philosophical differences, deep religious differences, and a different motivation than a common criminal. The big fear for us in the future is a weapon of mass destruction, and we're going to see first responders tested in the same way that they were in 9/11 with that type of event.
And that's what you're hoping to train folks to respond to?
Worst case scenario, yes. You know, worst case scenario for us is a weapon of mass destruction in a highly populated area, a mass casualty response that overwhelms every discipline.
These things are not fun to think about, but it sounds like it's something you think about every day.
Yeah, it's not cheerful for sure, and it definitely weighs on you.
So why do you do what you do? What gets you to work in the morning?
I have young children, and I want a safe and secure future for them. I want them to be able to pursue their dreams and feel literally just safe and secure. You know, I think 9/11 has taken away a lot of people's innocence, and I would like for them to experience the same type of childhood I had, and I don't know if that's a reality or not, but I'm going to do my darndest to make sure that not only my children but other people's children experience a terror-free existence.
Think we can get there?
I certainly hope so. There's a lot of talk about a avenge killing for Osama bin Laden and an avenge attack for Osama bin Laden. Our government officials are gearing up for that type of event. And at some point, you got to ask yourself, is this $600-plus billion that we've spent since 2001 in Homeland Security, is there a payoff? You know, have we improved our security? Have we improved our prevention? You know, I think society is split. We've got a lot of folks that think that we are secure, and therefore, you know, the very definition of terrorism is kind of defeated at that point. And then you have other people saying, no, you know, it's coming. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I wish that weren't the case, quite honestly, but I work with government officials every day in some capacity or another, and I'm certain we are going to get hit again. But I do believe that the prevention measures that we've put in place and the money that we have spent over the years has certainly improved us in many capacities. I mean, if you look at our interoperability and our communication systems, that in of itself alone is instrumental improvements, unbelievable improvements. Certainly, we have a long ways to go in preparedness in some areas, but we have made a dent in others. And we are more capable now than we were in 2001.